Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Prey Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 238 of Nerd Pride Radio. 238, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, and my brother Kyle, who submitted this to me, 238 feet is the length of the longest whip ever successfully cracked. Impressive. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to have on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, we're recording live from our Nerd Pride studios on Alderaan. Whoa, straight into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list, and the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs! So, waste no time, here we go. First up, my gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games, if it fits on my gaming table, I am here to share it with you. And actually, what I'm sharing this week is the gaming I'm not doing. Because, as most of you would know, this is Gen Con weekend. Some of you, as you are listening to this, maybe are driving back from Gen Con right now. Maybe you're making your way home. I'm recording on Sunday night, so this was the last day of the con. Most of the stuff is closed down by now. I hurt so much to miss it this year, but that is okay. You know what? Things came up. It just, you know, we have so many people in our group, and just one by one, everybody had things to do. You know, there's new babies, there's life events, there's stuff going on. Some of us went to Canada. So, next year we're going to do it again. Next year we'll be big. I am going with my son Elijah, my third son. He will be 16 years old. This will be his first Gen Con. And I also plan on bringing a playtest copy of Godball. And Dave and I plan on being in the playtest hall with it for at least a couple of hours to try this out with some new people and see how it goes. We're hoping for big things with Godball next year. So, those of you who are in the Nerd Pride, those of you who are planning on going next year, man, put on your big boy pants or big girl pants, depending. You wear whichever you choose. And start getting ready for next year, all right? We're going to have a blast. It's going to be a good time. Come and join us, all right? Let's make it a big party. Well, I mean, it's already a big party, but let's make a fun corner of it for ourselves, because that'll be awesome. And that's really all I've got. I haven't been doing a lot of gaming myself lately. School is just about to start this week, and we have just been crazy busy with Jacob moving out and all this other stuff going on. So, you know, excuses. But you know, I have been following some stories of Gen Con, but not a whole lot. Because, man, I just wish I was there. So, next year, start getting ready, gear up. Next year we're going to do this again, and it's going to be awesome. That's it. All right, what's up next?
And now for something completely different.
That's right, something completely different. This is just stuff I don't have a category for yet. And this has been on my list for a while. I just don't know what possessed me, but I started thinking about the movie Monster Trucks from last year. Monster Trucks, the awesome, awesome movie about monsters that live inside of trucks and then make them do awesome monster truck things. It's really cool. All right, look, you guys, go back to, I don't even know what episode it is, but it would have been from January of 2017. Aiden and I saw it in the theater. We had a friggin' blast. Monster Trucks is just a straight-up awesome movie. It really, I mean, look, I know what you're thinking. Looks like a dumbass kids movie. And guess what? It totally is. But, oh, God, you know what? Dumbass movies is going to be kind of a running theme this episode. We'll get back to that. But it is, Monster Trucks is just a happy-ass Disney movie in the style of Herbie the Love Bug and some of the other really stupid Disney films that were just joyous in my youth. And this is a throwback to that style of just happy, silly fun. And again, you know what? I still maintain, now this is again, a year and a half ago, so I'm working off a memory here, but I still maintain that, you know, for a stupid, happy family movie, you know, they actually made an effort to make it, you know, vaguely plausible, to come up with some, you know, some pseudoscience that actually makes a little bit of sense in the context of the story, to have motivations for the major players that actually make some sense. It was actually really kind of cool. And so what I have discovered, I thought about Monster Trucks, is because there's a new movie coming out called Axel, AXL. I don't know what AXL stands for, but I do know that it's a movie about a giant robot dog. And as I'm watching this movie, there is a teenage boy discovers huge robot dog and makes it his own pet or companion or friend, however it is that they're going to categorize this. And as I'm watching this trailer, it's like, oh, now the evil government agency that created Axel is now coming to find the dog. Oh, but you can't take Axel. He's a real dog. He has feelings. He has, you know, basically, it's the same movie, all right? It's not the same details, not the same, but it's the same concept. And as I'm watching Axel, I'm thinking, this is the stupidest thing I have ever seen in my life. As I'm watching the trailer for it, obviously I haven't seen the movie yet. But, like, beat for beat, I can bet that this thing matches up to Monster Trucks pretty darn well as far as their pacing and their plot points and this kind of stuff. And so I got to thinking about Monster Trucks and how much I love Monster Trucks. Now, Axel looks dumb and I really have no urge to see it. I don't plan on going out and watching it, even though I'm telling you to give Monster Trucks a chance. Yeah, I'm not going to give Axel a chance. Look, it was already done and done better by Monster Trucks. I don't know what you guys are trying to do. Seriously, it's not even worth my time. But here's my thing. Is I feel like Monster Trucks just never did get any credit. It is, I think, completely underrated, and I think this movie has the ability to become some, you know, some kind of cult classic, some kind of favorite, and so I've decided I'm gonna watch Monster Trucks again now that I've had a little space, and you know, maybe even make it an annual event. You know, if I had my own gaming convention that I was running, this would be like a central event, is the screening of Monster Trucks that we do every year at the con. That would be the kind of thing it would be for me. And so I'm going to watch Monster Trucks again because it's streaming and you can go watch it right now on Hulu or on Amazon. So I'm going to watch it like this week, maybe next week, as soon as I get some time. Hopefully Aiden will watch with me because, well, I know he'll, if he's got the time, I know Aiden will watch with me. And I would love to get Eli and Noah to watch it, because they're the target audience for this film, especially Noah, 12-year-old. All right, this is the target audience. I want to see how it bounces off of him. I want to see what he really thinks of it. And he may be colored on this because me and Aiden really talked it up. But wow, it's still going. That's crazy talk. Okay, we'll see what happens here. Okay, bizarre. My computer died because I did not realize that the power strip I had plugged it into was not connected to the wall anymore. Someone must have tripped over it. And so my computer died, like completely died, shut off unexpectedly. So I finally got all the power reconnected. I plugged it all back in. And when the computer starts back up, it's still recording. Like, the recording is just chugging along as if nothing ever happened. I mean, it was off. It was completely powered off. No lights, no nothing, no response. And yet, okay, all right, so that's what we're working from here, and it all looks good, so I'm just going to keep going. Let's hope this thing actually survives, because I got a lot of material to go through here. All right, that was it, by the way. I just finished up raving about how much I love this stupid movie, Monster Trucks, and you guys should watch it on Hulu or Amazon, and join me in reminiscing over it in the next week or two. I think we'll have a good time with it. All right, I get it. Get the little ones out of the room. Make sure you're sitting down for this.
Nerd rage came flashing back, and I just looked at him and went, "Rrr!"
That's right, it's time for some nerd rage. My nerd rage this week, it's MoviePass. Oh, you know, part of me feels a little bad for ranting about MoviePass because, you know, the business model was broken, and we knew the business model was broken when we got on board, and so now they're actually running out of money, and they're starting to get really desperate, and it's turned to crap. And so we knew this was going to happen. We knew it was all going to go to crap, but somehow they've decided to do it in a way that angers me anyway. So for those of you who aren't familiar, MoviePass was the big deal. Was $9.99 a month, or whatever particular cut rate you happen to get in on in the last 6 or 8 months here. But for $9.99 a month, and you can watch as many movies as you like. And their business model was, look, people will give us $9.99 a month, and then we will just pay for whatever movies they want to go see. And, like, I'm paying $10 a month, I go watch 7 movies, they wind up paying $40. Like, there's no trick, no nothing, they pay for my movies. And ultimately, I've talked about this before, but the quick review is, yes, they knew it was a money-losing proposition, and the whole premise was, yes, but by getting so many people who are watching movies on MoviePass, we will have so much control, so much power over how people go see their movies, that we will then be able to say, look, to the theaters, and say, look, we've increased your revenue by X amount. You've got this many people coming to see the movies, and the numbers show that when people see it on a movie pass, they spend more money on concessions than they would have otherwise. That's money directly in your pocket, movie theaters. And therefore, if you'd like us to continue with this model and continue sending people to you to spend even more money, then we need a cut of that. We need a little kickback in order to keep going. That's their plan. There were other moneymaker ideas in their scheme, but that was the big one, is that they were going to start getting cuts from the theaters. And sadly, everyone knew that they were running out of money, and so therefore the strategy of AMC, especially, that's their big rival, AMC absolutely does not want to play nice with MoviePass, but everyone else's tactic seems to be, that does suck, and yes, these guys do have a point, but if we just wait them out, they'll die. And it looks like it's working for them. Which is too bad because, you know, MoviePass really was driving more business towards them. And so now that they're running out of money, they had one of their fulfillment houses had a problem, and so people weren't getting paid, and so they weren't being able to go see their movies. And so now they've reworked their strategy. Now it's $15 a month, but you can't see certain movies. And all right, and this is the part that's pissing me off, is that I get that they're trying to prove a point. Alright? Like, they picked a specific market and said, look, we're not going to support any AMC theaters in this market, like San Francisco or whatever it was that they picked. We're not going to support any AMC theaters in this market. And thus, after the weekend was over, they could point to it and show AMC and say, hey, look, you said you didn't want to play nice with us, so we didn't support you, but we supported all of your competitors, and look how much money we drove to other people. We've proven our point that with MoviePass, people will go to the theaters we support. And you know, your theaters in this market lost 10% of their business for the weekend. You know what? It didn't have to be that way. You could be playing along with us. All right, they're trying to make a point. And so now they're not allowing MoviePass users to see big opening weekend movies. So Mission Impossible Fallout, for the second week in a row, cannot see it with my MoviePass. And And they're trying to make a point that, hey, look, when we say we're not going to support it, people are willing to wait a week or two to go see a movie for when we can support it. So we're bringing down your box office totals by simply not supporting opening weekend movies. The movie I happened to see this week, that I saw just yesterday, in fact, is The Spy Who Dumped Me, which, even though it's opening weekend, MoviePass was fine with that one. They're like, yeah, go ahead, go see it. That's great. We don't care. So it turns out it was a really crappy movie. But this is totally aside from my rant about MoviePass. Yes, I know Spy Who Dumped Me was a terrible movie. The plot was it was just horrific. It was just terrible in the way they structured it and in some of the points they had to make, and then it didn't. They were just inconsistent and terrible, and yet, I find Mila Kunis so charming. I find Kate McKinnon so charming although she was a little grating in this one, but it was also because her character was intentionally supposed to be grating. They commented on it several times. But I find the two of them very funny and very charming, and I liked their chemistry together. I thought they worked really well together. And so despite the fact that it was a crappy movie, I liked watching them. And I discovered in watching this movie that I still have a huge crush on Mila Kunis. I think she's awesome. So for whatever that's worth. Now, that movie aside, and I'll get to more crappy movies later. But here's the thing, MoviePass. I don't mind that, you know, you're struggling and that you're going to have to figure. We knew that when we were going into it. But you keep screwing us over. You keep changing the terms. And now they want to charge $15 a month. You can't see any movies on opening weekend. Well, except for crappy ones, apparently. And some of the other movies, so big movies on opening weekend, you can't see at all. Middle-range movies, movies like big movies, but they've been there a couple of weeks or whatever, in their middle-range movies, you can go see those, but we're going to charge you a premium fee for them. So, yes, we'll pay for your ticket, but we'll charge you an extra couple of bucks at the end of the month. So instead of seeing a free movie, you're seeing a $2 movie. Okay. And then the rest of the movies you can see for free. Great. But, on top of that, and if that was their terms, I still might be going along with it. Might be. Because I can still see movies. But here's the kicker, is that they've only got a certain number of tickets available per theater, apparently. And so all week long I've been watching, and if I get up in the morning and I start looking before the matinees start playing, and I start checking it out, and there's my theater, there's all the movies that are playing, there's the premium ones I can't see, but at least they're listed, here's the ones I can see with all their show times, awesome. And I keep watching, and I keep watching, and then about 4:15, 4:30, when I'm starting looking for an actual time that I want to go see a movie, by that point of the day, literally 4:30 in the afternoon, I go to look and it's like, there's no screenings left for your theater at this time. Sorry. And that's it. I can't watch any movie after 4:30. Yeah, no, we've already sold all our tickets. Sorry, you can't go. And they didn't explain any of this in the terms of service, but yeah, they're just blocking me out. And I don't know if this is what they're doing at all theaters. I don't know if they're just doing it for me because I have a theater that is the only theater in town. And CEC theaters, where we go watch our movies, there's only 7 of them in the world, and they are all in towns where they are the only theater. Therefore, they're not competing with anybody. There's no leverage that MoviePass has over them. There's no reason for them to make deals with CEC, because CEC has a monopoly for its little viewing area. So therefore, they don't care about us and don't need to make deals with us. So they just screw us over. And so that's where my rant is that I don't mind that you're going to go under. I understand that you're having problems. I understand that you might have to change your business model a little bit, but you're changing your business model a lot. You're changing it on a regular basis, and you're not telling us what you're doing. You're just conveniently leaving out certain parts, or we forgot to mention that in that last email. So sorry about that. So we ultimately just canceled. We just canceled our cards, because at this point, for the last 2 weeks, we can't see any movies with MoviePass. We just can't go because there's no screenings left by the evening. And so I suppose if I only wanted to see second run movies and only wanted to see matinees on the weekend, then I'd be fine. But if I want to see anything else, nope, not going to get it. So we're ditching MoviePass. And then they gave us a very stern talking to and said, well, you realize if you cancel, you can't get back in for 9 months. I'm like, you won't even exist in 9 months. But okay, that's fine. Which, you know, part of it is, God, you know, if their ploy works here and they actually jockey for position and they put some leverage on these, and they finally somehow pull out this last minute Hail Mary play and they wind up really getting a deal and finding a way to survive, then suddenly I'm going to be all sorry that I've got to wait 9 months to get back in, but I don't think that's going to happen. So it was nice while it lasted, MoviePass. Thanks for the memories. I appreciate the movies you let me go see, because I would not have watched nearly so many movies if they weren't all, you know, free. But, oh well. It was fun. Now I go back to my normal, boring life. Oh, I know what's up next. That's right, it's word of mouth. I always tell you guys that the best thing you can do to support me is spread the word. Share this podcast with your friends. Just turn on other people to the possibilities I'm offering. And so I realize there are a lot of content creators out there that I am a huge fan of, and yes, you can contribute money to them, you can buy their merch, you can do all sorts of stuff to help support them. But one thing I can do, because I have a podcast of my own, is I can spread the word, tell you guys about it, word of mouth. That's what this is. So the one I want to talk about this week is a webcomic by the name Questionable Content. Many of you already read this comic. I know you do. It's by Jeff Jacques. Is his name, and it is just an awesome comic. It is really, it's about Martin, and essentially it's Martin and all the women in his life. And there are other male characters, but it's mostly about women. And it is just, it's a very progressive, very awesome sort of comic. And I just, if you go back and you read the early stuff, because I started from the very beginning and I read all the way through, and if you start from the very beginning, it takes a while to really get the swing of it. So, you know, you can back up a little bit, but man, there's so many good storylines in it. And it is a world where there are plenty of queer characters in this comic. There's a trans woman in this comic. There's robots in this comic. They have sentient AI. And it's just, it's weird, but it's very supportive and progressive, and it's just a beautiful world to live in. You watch these people and how they interact and how accepting and kind everyone is. And there's conflicts and there's weird things that go on and there's plot, but then there's also just, yeah. There's love and there's awesomeness and there's friendship, and it's a fun comic. I really, really like it. I can't even describe how much I enjoy this comic. And sadly for me, speaking of Gen Con, I met Jeff Shock at Gen Con, a few years ago, and I feel bad because at the time I knew of Questionable Content. I mean, I had read a lot of it, but I wasn't really as into it as I am now. And so when I met him, I was actually looking for a different artist, and I couldn't find the artist's booth. I didn't know where he was at. And I was looking for him because Aiden was a fan, and I wanted to get something signed for Aiden. And so, hey, Noah just joined us. Hi, Noah.
I've been here since the beginning.
And as it turns out, I'm talking about an online comic that I read called Questionable Content, and I'm talking about meeting the artist that writes it and draws it. And so, anyway, I was looking for a different artist because I was looking to get something signed for Aiden, and I couldn't find him, and so I found Jeff Shock there with Questionable Content at his booth, and I recognized the name, and so I talked to him for a minute, and then I asked him, okay, here's the guy I'm looking for. I need to get something signed. And he was very kind, and he pointed me to the right direction, and I found what I was looking for. And that was awesome. But I didn't, like I say, I wasn't a big fanboy then like I am now. And so, God, it was just a missed opportunity. So, but he is there every year. So, so hopefully next year when I go with Eli, I'll get to see him again. And that'll be cool.
And then 2 years after that, you'll get to go with me.
That's right. And then 2 years after that, I'll get to go with Noah. So are you sure it'll be 2 years?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because you're going to be No, you're going to be 16 in 4 years, so I will get Eli next year, and then you're 3 years after that.
Dang!
I know. Rough life, dude.
I know!
Yeah, well, but you'll get there. It'll be awesome. So anyway, if you enjoy webcomics, give Questionable Content a shot. And most of you, a lot of you, I shouldn't say most of you, I know a lot of you already read it because I've seen discussion about it. But if you don't, give it a chance. I really enjoy it. It's a fun comic. And, you know, word of mouth. It helps. All right. Where am I next? Oh, science fiction double feature.
Science fiction double feature.
That's right. Here at Nerd Pride Radio, you get not one, but two movie reviews for the same low, low price. Hey, speaking of crappy movies, and I say you get two movie reviews for the price of one, but they're really the same movie, so, you know, I can do it in half the time. All I want to do is say that I watched Mamma Mia, the original, and it was on TV because, you know, with Mamma Mia, the sequel coming out, they've been running Mamma Mia on the original on cable TV, streaming somewhere. Where did we find it? Well, she had to have watched it streaming. Anyway, it's available, in preparation for the new one coming out. And so my wife decided that she, you know, I was busy doing something else with the kids and she had some time to kill. And so she decided she would watch the movie just to see what all the fuss was about. And I wound up coming in just a little bit late. But once I was sitting there and I was working on some other stuff, but the movie's on in the background and it caught my attention. And so I paid attention and I watched all the way through to the end.
What movie?
Mamma Mia. And the upshot was we enjoyed it enough that we decided to actually go to the theater, and we wound up paying for it because, again, MoviePass screwed us over, and we wound up paying to go see Mamma Mia! Exclamation point! Here we go again, the sequel. And
what is it about?
They are.
What's it about? A stereotypical Italian family?
No, it is a movie musical made from the songs of ABBA. ABBA was a Swedish pop band from 40 years ago, and their music was very popular, and the people who made the musical just took the songs that already existed and then built a plot around those songs so that they would all fit into the musical somewhere. And some of them are a little shoehorned in, some of them are just performed without having any actual content tied to what's going on the screen. It's weird. Ultimately, there's something likable about it. It's like Greatest Showman, because Greatest Showman was just a crappy ass musical, but I enjoyed it because I was just going in for the song and dance. I wasn't going in expecting, an actual Yeah, an actual, yeah, a plot, or the, t-
no,
the tale of, the tale, the true tale of P.T. Barnum. This was not about, P.T. Barnum's actual life. This was about, the songs and dances that are written to go along with this very happy, unrealistic, story. And
it
so.
It shouldn't be called The Greatest Showman, Dad. It should be called The Greatest Barman.
Yeah.
You saw that guy.
Oh, that barman, that dance in the bar when the two of them were facing. I love that screen. All right, anyway, but that's beside the point. The point is, I watched Mamma Mia and Mamma Mia 2, and they are by the way the same movie. They even share some of the songs because, you know, they used all of ABBA's best songs for the first movie, and then there was a whole bunch of ABBA songs I had never heard of in the second movie. Plus, they redid some of the ones from the first one because. So, here's the deal. It's not about the plot. The plot is nonsensical. It is about these characters and yes, and the music is catchy and it sticks in your head and all of that stuff. It's ABBA, you know the songs. But the characters are adorable. And especially the three guys that show up in the first movie, the three older guys. It's Pierce Brosnan and Skarsgård. And, what's that guy's name from Bridget Jones's Diary? I can never remember his name. Colin Firth. That's his name. All right. I thought these guys were just charming, fun to watch on screen. They had really good scenes in both films, and they're just fun. And again, you got to know it's going to be dumb. You're mostly there because, you know, you're listening to some poppy music, and it's just very soap opera-like. It's very, very overly dramatic and overly played. And yet, again, I find them charming. What can I say? So I watched them. I'm a little embarrassed to find out that I enjoyed them as much as I did, even though I know they're bad. I mean, it is, the Amanda Seyfried's character in both movies, she has her boyfriend, fiancé, husband. They progress through. They finally do get married, yes. But, and this guy is so bland and so one-dimensional. One-dimensional is giving him too much credit. This guy was so non-dimensional that I didn't even...
Wait, one-dimensional?
I didn't even realize that they changed actors. So that in the second film, he was played by a completely different bland guy. And he's such a waste of space. The guy is a plot device. The guy is a one-dimensional, yes, of course I love you. That's all he's there for. He was worthless. Absolutely worthless. But again, I don't know what point I'm trying to make. My point this week is to say, Monster Trucks, The Spy Who Dumped Me, Mamma Mia, and Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. I just like crappy movies, apparently. I have no taste whatsoever. I don't even know why you guys listen to me. Just terrible. But
I do have good taste. What about Marvel?
Yeah, well, you know, some people would criticize Marvel movies as well. I mean, not me, obviously, because I like anything.
He likes crappy movies.
But apparently, I like crappy movies. So, all right, you know what? Enough of that. One last thing before we turn it over to R2. Uncomfortable topics. Yeah. Uncomfortable topics are just the kind of stuff that you avoid bringing up at the Thanksgiving dinner table. The kind of religion, politics, things that, they're just uncomfortable. That's why you have to whisper. So, in this case, James Gunn. James Gunn got fired from Guardians of the Galaxy. And, he got fired because James Gunn, he's the director of Guardians of the Galaxy and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. He was also the director of a movie called Super that I loved. The point is that he got fired because somebody went back through his old Twitter feed, his old tweets, and found some really horribly tasteless jokes that he made 10 years ago. And when I say horribly tasteless, I finally went out and looked up, okay, exactly what did he say that was so bad? And yeah, he made jokes about, pedophilia and rape and, things that, I mean, this was 10 years ago, but things that absolutely, if you made those jokes now, yeah, they would absolutely merit firing now. Do they merit firing that knowing that he made them 10 years ago and that, as he said in his response to all this, he said, look, I understand why they fired me. I completely understand their decision. I am not going to argue with this. This is what happens. All right. But he also said, hey, for those who know me, this is stuff that I made 10 years ago when I was trying to be shocking. That was my role, is I wanted to shock people. That was the personality persona I had made for myself, was those were the kinds of movies I made and the kind of jokes that I made. And it was all for shock value. And he said, and I'm not like that anymore. And people who are familiar with my work and people who know me understand that I'm trying to do stuff now that is more, more inclusive and more, I can't remember the exact words he used, but basically that he's a more sensitive person who, wants to do things that are, more uplifting and healing and bringing people together rather than, just shocking for shock value, just offending people because it gets you attention. And And I think he's sincere in all of this. And part of the way I look at it is, and again, you know, was Disney right to fire him? That's between him and them. I'm not going to make judgment on that, but I am going to compare it to my own situation. And for any of you who were listeners back in my Animal Cast days, the Animal Cast was raw. I've mentioned before, it was absolutely crude and terrible at times. We made terribly offensive jokes all the time. And
just to have terribly offensive jokes.
Yeah, and it was a lot of it just for shock value. And we said things,
like you literally were the manly stereotype chick stereotype.
Yeah, right. It was when we did the chicks in gaming episode, for example. That's the most egregious example I can think of off the top of my head. But we made comments and jokes like that all the time. And it was some terribly misogynistic stuff, but it was all tongue in cheek. And when we did it, it was all very much intended to be shocking and offensive because, oh, you're not supposed to say that, but also funny because we are more enlightened than that. We know you're not supposed to say that. And thus, that's why it's funny when we do say it, because everyone who knows us, everyone who listens to us at the time, knows that we don't mean any of these things, that that's not who we are. We don't believe any of that. We're making a caricature of the kind of people who would think that way. That was our take on it at the time. But when I think back on it and I think of some, when I listen, I've been listening to some of the old episodes. When I listen to those, I am, there's no way I could publish any of those today. And it's not funny. I mean, I get why it was funny at the time, but it is not funny in a modern context. And this is just 10 years later. I mean, we were doing the Animal Cast at the same time that James Gunn was making the comments that are getting him in trouble now. So I get where he's coming from. And fortunately for me, I didn't have a Twitter feed back then. I wasn't all over Facebook back then. The record of my offensive comments and jokes and stuff, the whole record of that is contained in the Animal Cast, which is not available online anymore. Or it was also recorded in the Animal Ball forums, which, oh yeah, have also been taken offline and are not available anymore. And this is exactly why they're not available. We made a decision. When I wanted to switch over to Nerd Pride Radio, I wanted a kinder, gentler sort of forum and podcast. Wanted to move away from that sort of stuff because that just wasn't who we were anymore. And in doing so, we made the decision. I think it was mostly my brother's decision. We made the decision to take that stuff off the internet and not make it available for people anymore. And it really upset some people that happened. 3278 especially. 3278. I know. I need to pronounce the whole thing out. But it specifically bothered him, and he ranted and railed against us because all of the discussions and commentary from those forums were just lost forever. And that's the reason he left us, and the reason I think he's never come back is because we took all that conversation away. But, you know, again, we'd moved on, and in this day and age, boy, it is dangerous to have a record of that stuff laying around. We're different people now. At least I certainly am. I know my brother is. And I don't know, it was just a cleaner break to move on from that and not have that laying around to have to answer to, you know? I mean, but again, we're fortunate that's the choice we were able to make. Whereas most other people, like James Gunn, didn't have that option. Or Trevor Noah. I mean, look, if you've watched The Daily Show, if you've listened to Trevor Noah, the man, he's a good guy. He's a great guy, and I really like his take on stuff. But if you look at his Twitter feed when they first hired him to do The Daily Show, and they took jokes from, 10, 12 years ago from his Twitter feed, where he had made some fat-shaming jokes, some misogynistic jokes, and it was, you know, and his point was, look, I was a younger guy then. I was not, it was a different time. I was not as light enlightened as I am now. I was trying out certain different styles of humor, and they just didn't work. And he's, you know, he says, I've learned from that and I've moved on. But, you know, it's tough.
I have a Treppenwitz.
You have a Treppenwitz?
Yeah.
Hold on just 2 seconds, guys. Let me clear this one first. Okay, we're going to have one more segment after this one because he's got a Treppenwitz and it's actually going to work out pretty well. Anyway, where was I? Oh. And so, same thing. And this was just, you know, Gunn's comments, our animal cast. That was about 10 years ago. Go back a little bit before that, maybe 13, 14, 15 years ago. Colin Quinn's Tough Crowd was a show on Comedy Central where, it was comedians talking about current events, but also doing it in the context of being horribly, horribly racist to each other. They were just terrible. It was all terribly racist, misogynistic, homophobic commentary, all made for shock value and all made completely in jest because, oh, hey, come on. It's funny because you know I don't believe this. And that's just not a style of humor that I consider acceptable anymore.
What about the other people on Twitter that don't know you're not like that?
Well, see, and that's actually part of the problem that we had with the Animal Cast is when I look back on it, look, we thought chicks in gaming and being super misogynistic about women and games and all this, we thought that was super funny because it was so inappropriate and so, unacceptable. And we did it for the shock value. And we also, if people ever listened to that episode or other episodes that we did on different topics and heard some of these jokes, people who didn't get it thought we were serious and got super offended by it. We thought that was even funnier. And so we were taking humor from the idea that we have offended some people who don't know that we're kidding. And that was part of the humor value for us. And that's, that's bad. I mean, that's really bad. That's the kind of thing that now just makes me cringe. I don't want to be that person. That's where I was. Colin Quinn's Tough Crowd. The further you go back, the more we had stuff that was just, people just thought, oh yeah, no, that's acceptable humor. Yo, that's perfectly normal. I mean, again, any 80s movie, when you look at these 80s teen gross out comedy films, when you look at, how many times do we have to say Revenge of the Nerds or 16 Candles or, these are things that are just flat out openly racist and, openly advocating rape and as if it's funny. And
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, you'll have to watch Revenge of the Nerds with us sometime.
Most things that were awesome in the 80s, they aren't anymore.
Right. Awesome in the 80s, but not anymore. That's why you sang that song. And it is just, again, it's stuff that was considered entertaining then, considered perfectly acceptable to make jokes about. And now we're like, no, that's not funny. You don't get to do that. No. So that's my uncomfortable topic. And I'm a little, when I think about it, because I'm, all right, I am a big advocate of powerful men in Hollywood who have, I'm not a big advocate of power, let me clarify the full statement when I get to the end of it. Powerful men in Hollywood who have behaved badly, who have treated women badly, who have treated people badly, I am a big advocate for not giving them a whole lot of a second chance. Because, yeah, you know what, maybe Roman Polanski's a different man now, all right? Maybe he's changed. Maybe, you know what? Maybe that's true, but there are so many undiscovered talents out there that we could give money to that, you know, haven't raped young girls, haven't been, you know, I mean, like, it's, you know, we could certainly give money to someone who, yeah, maybe he is a changed person. Maybe he's a better man now. But we could give this money that we would have given to him to, I don't know, someone who's never done any of that and maybe has a different voice and maybe has something new to teach us and could be just as talented, just as bright a light for us that I don't, you know. So for me, I'm not big on forgiveness when it comes to Woody Allen, when it comes to Mike Tyson, when it comes to Mel Gibson. I'm not, I'm not big on saying, oh yeah, you know, they've changed. Oh, you know, yeah, it's been so many years. Let's just give them another shot. But these are people who have, and I just, as I'm talking it, I've just realized what the difference is. Is that when I'm talking about James Gunn, when I'm talking about myself for that matter, yeah, we behaved badly as well. I mean, Mel Gibson, it wasn't, you know, Mel Gibson, it was his words. It was his, he said stuff that was very racist and very, anti-Semitic and very, you know, and so he said terrible things and now he claims to be a better person, an enlightened person, and oh, shouldn't we forgive? Whereas the stuff James Gunn did, he was kidding. Like, even in the con, it was terrible at the time, but everyone knew it was meant to be a joke, that he didn't seriously believe that stuff, whereas Gibson did, you know? I mean, and that's, or maybe I'm splitting hairs, maybe I'm putting too fine a point on this. I don't know. I mean, look, I know that I don't approve of a guy who bit a guy's ear off. I'm pretty sure I'm not cool with that. I'm certainly not cool with the guy who married his daughter.
I'm sorry, who married whose daughter?
It was Woody Allen, a famous director, and he was married to Mia Farrow, and Mia Farrow had an adopted daughter named Sun Yi. And Mia and Woody were married, living together as husband and wife, and even though he never officially adopted Sun Yi, he raised her from the time she was like 11 or 12.
Wait, so he married
and then
an adopted daughter?
And then, yes, and then after she had turned 18, at some point, he started having an affair with her. And his wife found nude pictures of their daughter in his drawer, and he was apparently having an affair with her, and he wound up eventually splitting from Mia Farrow. I don't know if they were ever officially married or not, it doesn't matter. But he split from Mia Farrow and then married Sun Yi, who had been, again, he raised her.
Raised from, like, right. 3.
Right. Well, raised from, yeah, I think like 10. Maybe, I don't remember the exact details. It doesn't matter.
That's like someone adopting me, raising me till I'm 18, and then marrying me.
Right. Grotesque, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so his claim, and her claim too, Sun Yi, both of them say, look, the romantic affair didn't start until she was 18, so they didn't actually get involved until she was of legal age. And since he never actually adopted her, they're not related, they were never, you know, and so therefore it's all okay. I'm like, no, it's not okay. It's not okay. This is.
You raise someone from 10 to 18.
This isn't.
It's not okay.
Older man with, parental authority over this young woman. And taking advantage of that, and it's grotesque. And so, alright, anyway, but I'm straying way away from this. And by the way, Woody Allen still, gets to make movies. Very famous,
no!
Very famous actors can't wait for their chance to act in one of his films.
No!
Oh, he wins awards. He is, yeah, I know. I'm with you, but.
No!
I'm with you! You're preaching to the choir here, buddy. And so, but my point is, all right, set those guys aside, and somewhere in here there's going to be some kind of gray area that I'm not quite as settled on. But I do think James Gunn is, from what I've seen at least, can't say for sure, but from what I've seen, I don't see that what he's done is any worse than what I've done. And I think I'm a pretty decent guy, for what it's worth. So, all right, now. Hopefully, by this point, you're going to hear the Trapinwitz music kicking in, because Noah has a Trapinwitz from just this very last segment. And so, here's the deal with Trapinwitz, is Trapinwitz literally staircase wit. It's that perfect response, that perfect joke that you think of, but you only think of it when you're on the stairs and on your way out the door. Oh, it's way too late to throw it in. And you never get to say that perfect. People don't get to know how smart and clever and witty you are. Well, at least that's the case for most people. For me and Noah, we have a podcast where we get do-overs all the time because, what are you going to do? You know what? I know what you're going to do. You'd stop listening, but you're not going to do that because it's Trapinwitz. All right. So here's the deal. In the last segment, when I was talking about the kind of person
Hold on,
I am.
Let's just do that bit entirely, okay? That little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what we're going to replay it. And so that's the part where I'm talking about being a kinder, gentler person. I've changed since earlier on. I mean, at least that's the kind of person I am now.
Are you?
Well, I mean, maybe with time.
Are you?
No. Come on, you have to finish it.
That's what I thought.
That's all right. In our family, that it's a quote from Futurama. It was Bubblegum Tate and the
lead.
Yeah, the Bubblegum Tate, who is the leader of the Harlem Globetrotters, and he's asking Bender
if he's funky enough to be a Globetrotter, and Bender says yes, and he says, "Are you?" And then Bender says, "I mean, maybe with time." Are you? No.
I didn't think so. All right. And that bit in our family, anytime someone makes a statement like that about themselves, it's inevitable that it's usually Noah, but one of us will go, "Are you?" And then we have to play out the entire joke every time. And so, yeah, when I said, at least that's the kind of guy I am, Noah's like, "Oh, that's what I should have said," but he didn't think of it until a little bit too late. So, hey, Trepanwitz. All
right. I thought of it right after you said it, but it was like you were already moving on, so it already became Trepanwitz as soon as you stopped saying
that. Isn't
that
great? All right. So, now we are done with the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. So it's time for the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog! This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? I hear you asking. Constantly, people are asking me, where do these topics come from, Mike? Well, that's where you guys come in. You want to hear me have on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. The very first number on this list is 35. Well, actually, the first number on the list is 1, but the first number that was rolled is 35, so we'll go with that. 35 is yes, sir.
I have a Trepanwitz, but it would be better to Trepanwitz it if I do it on the next episode.
Okay, then save it up, dude. Make sure we write it down. People will be disappointed if you tease it here and then we don't actually do it.
Okay.
All right. 35 is from Mrs. Darks, and she says, why does making something tiny automatically make it adorable? Oh, you want the real answer? Yeah, that's built into your DNA. You cannot help that. Our human beings, and in fact most mammals, are programmed to instinctively find certain features adorable. So when you're looking at a baby and you see that head, oversized head in proportion to its body, plump little features, the bigger eyes, the whole business, the whole youthful baby fat thing, all of those are triggers for us to go, aw, adorable, and make us want to take care of that thing. It's just what we do. And being tiny is one of those triggers, and you can't help yourself. That's science. What, you're going to fight science? You know better than that. So there you go. 33 is from Ronster. Ron says, what do you do to combat negativity in your daily interactions? To combat negativity in my daily interactions, I avoid being negative myself as much as humanly possible, which is not to mean I don't complain about stuff, because I do. You guys hear me do it all the time here. But I try and do it, I mean, like, I'm doing it here for entertainment value a lot, to share information, that kind of thing. But in real life, if I'm going to complain about something, I try and do it in a productive way. But I also do everything I do with a smile. And I try and be forward-thinking and head things off at the pass. Try and make things better. Try and just be supportive of people. Look, this last week at work, all right, well, actually, when I got back from vacation, like the day after I got back from vacation, a couple weeks ago, I got a note, a request that said, hey, this employee is terminating on such and such a date. We already put in the request for it, but now we'd like to delay her termination for 2 weeks. She's going to stay on an extra 2 weeks. Can you go ahead and put that in for us? And so I had all sorts of requests for stuff from people, for new employees and changes in employees and stuff like that. I had a whole bunch of requests piled up in my inbox. And as I went through, I like shoved them all over into the new, you know, the employee modification folder. And as I went through them, I found out that the person who was covering for me had taken care of everything. Like all of this stuff had been done except for this one. All right. So all the new hires, all the terminations, all that was taken care of for me. But this one, the delay of termination, that one had not gone to her desk. She hadn't touched it at all. And I knew that. I knew that this was my responsibility, but when I moved everything over, I had just marked it as being read, and I shoved it into another folder. I completely forgot about it, all right? And so 2 weeks later now, I get a call from the employee going, hey, I was supposed to terminate on Tuesday, but they moved it to, you know, I decided to stay on for an extra couple of weeks, but somehow they went ahead and terminated me anyway, and so now I can't get into any of my stuff. I can't do my work. This is all my fault. All my fault. And so, I went, for this one, she had every right to be mad at me. She had every right to be really upset about this whole thing because, again, she can't do her job. This is really frustrating for her. The request had been made properly, and I'm the one that fell down here. I'm the one that dropped the ball. And so, I went over and above, and I immediately, you know, fessed up to everything. I said, you know, because I went in, I looked, I double-checked all the stuff, and when I called her back, I'm like, all right, here's what's going on, here's where we're going to be on it. I said, I went to go look and see who dropped the ball on this thing, and it turns out it was me, and I feel so horrible. So, I mean, immediate apologies, but also to demonstrate to her that I'm doing everything I can, and in fact, because of the way it went in, the request didn't go in until Friday afternoon, which means, shit, they're probably not going to get it done until Monday. So, you know, I begged and borrowed from people to get them to move faster and get some of this stuff set up for her. I actually went into work on Saturday morning, which I never work Saturday, but I went into work Saturday morning, and double checked on some stuff. And sure enough, I tweaked this and that, and I was able to make it work on a Saturday. I contacted her, let her know what was going on. We had some back and forth and she was like, again, you provide some good customer service and people will forgive a lot. I mean, here she had every reason to be an irate customer, as it were. And because I went above and beyond, because, I mean, again, it was my mistake. I'm going above and beyond to fix my own mistake, a thing that would not have happened if I had just done my job properly in the first place. But because she can see that I'm sincerely sorry and I'm making all this effort, I mean, by the end of it, she's the one comforting me, going, oh, no, hey, it's okay. Things happen. No, look, you don't have to feel, no, seriously, it's all right. I'm like, so again, to combat negativity in this case, I just headed off the pass. Just did my very best to make up for the mistake that I had made, where I had, you know, I had done everything to, you know, deservedly engender negativity. But, you know, let's make it better. And so again, and that's just one example. That's a minor example. I'm only telling it because I just like the story. I feel really good about having gotten this done this weekend and knowing that this woman feels way better about the whole situation now, even though I was the one that screwed it up in the first place. So, you know, that's the kind of thing I do, is I try to anticipate the things that are going to cause problems, try to, run interference on stuff when I can. And just try to be a generally positive person in the first place. And it works for me. So at least it works most of the time. Yeah. I'm not perfect at it. But I try. Let's see. Ooh, 44. 44 is from... there it is. It's from Ronster again. Ron says, what is your favorite parody song? And do you like it better than the original? Ooh. All right, my favorite parody song. Oh, off the top of my head, I gotta say Amish Paradise by Weird Al. I love Amish Paradise. And yes, I like it way better than the original. But I don't know that that's my favorite. I'm gonna guess that there's a ton. I'm gonna guess that there are probably 10 parody songs that I like better than Amish Paradise. I just can't think of them off the top of my head. And probably 7 of those are by Weird Al. But that's the first one that comes to mind. That's the only one I can think of right now. So that's what I'm gonna go with. 24. 24 was submitted to us by Kyle. Hey, Kyle. And Kyle says, tell us something about Aiden that, one, most of your listeners don't know about him, and two, we will find amazing. Ooh. All right. Something amazing about Aiden that you guys don't know yet? There's things about Aiden that, there's a couple of really amazing things, but I'm not going to share them without him being here, because it's not my place, to share. So, let me think of what else. I mean, does his massive hat collection count as amazing? I mean, the man owns like 4 Newsies alone. I mean, he's got a ton of hats in there. A ton of hats. Like, one of them that's essentially just a stuffed turtle in hat form. A million ball caps and trucker caps. Newsie cowboy hat, baker's cap, band leader hat. I mean, he's got hats galore. Is that really, is that amazing? Or is, okay, Aiden is 20 years old, almost 21, and he has never gotten a ticket while driving or been in an accident. I personally, now, look, I don't know about the rest of you, but I find that amazing. I don't know a teenage kid that doesn't, you know, learn a lesson at some point. Something has to happen. No, nothing's happening. He apparently takes after his mom in that regard. His mom had one accident when she was a kid, and it wasn't even her fault. It was the other dude's fault, and he didn't have insurance, and so he was an older guy who kind of talked her into leaving the scene of the accident, and she got chewed out for that. But I don't think she's ever had a ticket. I don't think she's ever been in, I think it was that and maybe one other fender bump that she was in, but again, not her fault. And so somehow Aiden has managed to acquire that. And I don't know if he's a good driver or just a lucky driver, but again, never gotten a ticket, never been in an accident. I find that amazing. But okay, that's just me. And then there might be some other stuff. This would have been a very different question if he had been here. But oh well, some other day. 18. 18 comes from Walrus. Hey, Walrus. Walrus says, is there any music genre that you hated as a child that you enjoy now? Or vice versa? I don't know about hated, but yeah, when I was younger, again, I didn't ever care for country music as I was growing up, and now, I'm not a country music fan. Country music will never be my first choice. I like a smaller proportion of country music than I do other musical styles. But, you know, again, there's some gems in there. You can find some stuff. I used to be one of those who didn't care for rap music, but, you know, I got over that and I found some rap music that I liked. I found some stuff that made it accessible to me. And now there's lots of rap music that I enjoy. I'm not out exploring the genre, but I appreciate an awful lot of rap music. There's, classical music. No, I still never got to that. I mean, look, again, there's some classical music I do enjoy, but, oh man, it's a little too deep for me. I haven't built up the appreciation. I have so many musician friends who would love to teach me to appreciate classical music. And I just haven't given them that opportunity yet. So I probably should. Anyway, that wasn't the question. Yeah, you know what? Country would be the closest I could get. But even then, I guess I grew up on some country music. Wouldn't say I enjoyed it, but I grew up on some of it, but went through a long stretch of hating country music. And now I realize that, you know what? Music is music. There's some good stuff in there. So for what it's worth. 74 comes from Kyle. Kyle says, do you still sing in the car? Sometimes. I don't listen to music in the car as often as I used to because I listen to podcasts so often anymore. But yes, I do still sing in the car. Dance. Do I dance in the car? Dance as much as I dance anywhere, which is not much, but you know. Yes, do I bop along to something? Do I, you know, tap my fingers and, you know, occasionally, you know, get a little groove on? Maybe. But not much. But I've never been much of a dancer, so. But yeah, I'll still sing in the car. I'll still sing loudly and awkwardly in the car. That's awesome. I'm fine with that. 68 is Ronster again. And Ron says, do you use any sort of product for your beard? No, of course I don't. Well, I say of course I don't, but that's, I should explain. I don't have any problem with people who do use product in their beard. I'm very jealous of people who take really good care of their beard, where they get that smooth, silky look, that very well-kempt, hipster beard look. Oh, I love that, but it is awfully hipster, and it is more work than I'm willing to go to. Look, the point of not shaving. Have I answered this question before? Damn it, Ronster. I must have duplicated some of your stuff. I feel like I've answered this one before. Because we did the same thing last week where the same question came up in two different slots. Yeah. I'm thinking this might be another one. Either way. My point is, the reason I don't shave, the reason I have a beard in the first place, is because shaving is a pain in my ass and I don't like to do it. I don't like taking the time. I'm lazy. Beard means that I can just trim this thing once every 2 or 3 weeks and call it good. That's low maintenance. I love that. Putting product in my beard, special conditioners and oils and whatever else I'm going to do to keep my beard in great shape, no, that would be work. Hell, if I'm going to go that kind of effort, I might as well just shave because it's work. So, no, I don't put anything in my beard. Again, don't have anything against people who do. I love the way a beard looks when it's been well taken care of like that. But I don't grow mine out that long, and I don't put anything in it. I'm just not going to go that kind of effort. That's not me. 94. Each one of these I roll, I keep wanting to go, okay, and this is going to be the last one. And then I never say it because, you know, maybe it's not. All right. This one's from Ronster again. And Ron says, are there any holidays that you are off which you do not celebrate? If you could create a holiday to replace them, what would they be in celebration of? Let's see. The holidays I take off. Well, here's the thing. Martin Luther King Day, President's Day, you know, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, Labor Day. These are all holidays that I get off. Do I celebrate them? I mean, no, I don't go out and do Arbor Day. I get Arbor Day off because I'm a Nebraskan. Do I go out and do anything special in honor of these holidays? Do I have any kind of celebration or any kind of special activity for them? No, not really. I mean, it's just a day off. That's all it is for me. I mean, the holidays that I actually celebrate would be Christmas, Thanksgiving, because those are times that we get together with family and we actually do something. And New Year's, in that, you know, we always stay up super late on New Year's and we watch movies and again, together as a family. That's about it for holidays that I celebrate. Everything else is just a day off. So, if I was going to replace them with a holiday, I would replace them with a gaming weekend. All right, so I would have, it would be a holiday in celebration of play, all right? Specifically games of all sorts. It's a time, again, for family. You get together with family and friends, and you just share fun game activities. That's all it is. All right. And this holiday would be a 2-day holiday. It would be a Monday and a Friday. All right. Well, a Friday and then a Monday. So you get a 4-day weekend and you just do fun things together with families and friends. That's it. Now for me, it would be board games and role playing games because that's what I do. But it would be like a Gen Con in your home once a year and everyone's celebrating at the same time and doing the same thing. It'd be awesome. That's what I would do. Okay, this one's really going to be the last one now. 51. Unless it sucks. If it sucks, then we'll do one more after this. But otherwise, it's going to be the last one. It's from Ron. Ron says, your kids get to give you a haircut. What kind of haircut do you suspect they will attempt to give you? And which of them should and should not be a hairstylist? Okay, none of my kids should probably be a hairstylist. I bet Aiden would do the best job of it, is my guess. But if they were going to give me a haircut, look, if they have the option of taking clippers and scissors to my head, they're probably going to give me a mohawk. That's probably just the way it's going to go, and that's fine. All right, I would deal with that. Or potentially shave me bald just for fun. Maybe give me the, what's that samurai cut? Where they take the big old bald spot cut out of the front, like exaggerated male pattern baldness, so the helmet fits better and doesn't slip. They might do one of those. Man. But see, the problem is once you give me the mohawk or you shave my head entirely, I have a huge dent in the back, kind of off to the side, but back of my skull, top. Back. Anyway, I have a huge dent in my skull, and it would be very, very obvious. And that dent is because I have a huge scar there where they opened me up and they took out some chips of bone and they used them to reconstruct my nose when I was 12-ish. So, yeah, it was just part of my series of plastic surgeries to repair my cleft lip and cleft palate. And so they took bone chips out of there and they put them up under my nose to raise up my nose and kind of turn it. I mean, if you've met me, if you've seen pictures of me, you can see my nose is crooked. That's not, you know, it's not any secret. I've got a kind of twisted nose a little bit, but it was much worse when I was younger, before they did this operation to lift him up. But it did leave, underneath the hair, a huge dent in my skull. And if anyone ever wants, if you meet me in person, and just ask me, seriously, if you meet me in person and you're curious about it, say, hey, can I feel that dent in your head? I will let you feel the dent in my head, because I don't give a crap. And most people, when they go to feel it, when their fingers finally find it, it like creeps them out. They're like, oh my God, there's a hole in your head. Well, it's not a hole in my head, but it is a dent in the bone there. Yeah. I suppose it's kind of creepy if you've never experienced it before. But that's the reason I am really glad I do not suffer, from baldness, at this point is because that giant dent in my skull would be kind of unsightly, I think. So, I'm glad to keep it covered up for now. I mean, maybe one day I will have to face that eventuality and I won't have any choice, but I don't know. I'm receding very, very slowly at the temples, much as my father's father did. And so I think like Bob Jones, I think I am just gonna just slowly fade back a little bit here, but never actually go bald. So, I mean, that's the way his hair was. He just got just a little bit faded back there and his hair got thinner as he got older, but never went bald. So I think, my giant dented skull is going to remain covered for a good long time. That's my hope. So there you go. Hey, that question didn't suck. So therefore, that was the end of it. Let's turn it over to GLaDOS and she will give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week, Bread and Butter, performed by Devo, Weezer's In the Garage, Science Fiction Double Feature by Me First and the Gimme Gimmies, and my Treppenwitz music was written by some guy named Johann Sebastian Bach, but it was performed by the very lovely and talented David Short. All the songs I use, except for Treppenwitz, are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use, and write me a nice review or or write a crappy review. Don't care. Just give it 5 stars because that's what makes the difference. If you really want to do something nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends. If you're enjoying it, then spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, as my brother Kyle did this week, send it to me. Save me all of that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up. Send me a message. We will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to the forums and Facebook, and I post up, hey guys, I am recording. Anything you want to say, I will read it off at the end of my podcast, which is what I'm doing right now. So, to start off, out on my forums, I went out there and I said, hey, post here to join me. I said, if you went to Gen Con this year, what was the best part? And if you missed it, what do you wish you could have been there for? My only response, it looks like, is from Kaz Monster. And Kaz says, I wish I could have gone to give people much deserved love and support. It can't be easy to stay in business when there are people trying to tear down gamers they don't like. Okay. I know that there was an incident of some sort, and I know that there was a person who got punched in the face who, if I understand my friend's vague posts about it, this is a person who probably deserved to be punched in the face, but we still shouldn't go punching people. But I don't know what's going on, and so I don't know any details of what you might mean. But yeah, absolutely. Look, love and support always, dude. God, I wish I knew more details. I wish I knew any particular incident you were referring to. But yes, I just miss the people. That was the big thing, is that I'm excited every year for Gen Con. I'm excited for all the games. I keep track of all the games, and I give you guys the report afterwards, and I love having that tally of getting done with the con and going, yeah, I played 23 different games, and 15 of them were brand new to me, and here's what I got to introduce other people to, and here's... I love that experience. I love all of it, but more than anything, I love the people. I love getting to make new friends, getting to meet up with old friends, getting to hang out with... Oh, you guys are awesome. It's just... It's so much fun. It's 4 days well spent, and I cannot wait to go back next year. So, I am looking forward to it. I kind of miss you guys. All right. Hey, let's go over to Facebook. And on Facebook, I said, recording episode 238, talk about anything, but also, since I'm missing Gen Con this year, regale me with your favorite story from any convention. And, oh, it starts off from Nelly. And Nelly says, I am so very tired. Yay, no shit. The end of Gen Con, I mean, God, you're just dragging, but it is worth every moment. But she says, I missed you a lot. Oh, thank you, Nelly. Once again, it's the people. It is getting to see you. It's getting to see Dave. It's getting to see Pat and Sarah Beth. And it's getting, there's so many people. And so many people that I realized I should stop naming people because no matter how long the list gets, I will forget somebody and offend them. So, I miss being there. But then Nelly follows up and says, Gen Con was amazing. Will call was very long. All right. I bet they broke some records with both attendees and events attended. Really? Really? Because last year at 50 grand, they hit 50,000 people, for their 50th anniversary. And, I was kind of, and maybe my view is colored just because I wasn't there myself, but I feel like after last year's big record-breaking attendance for the 50th anniversary, I felt like this year might be off a little bit because there are some people who go every year when it's possible, but there are other people who only make it to a con once in a while, and I felt like like that 50th anniversary would have been a concentration of, oh, those occasional visitors all hit 1 year and then they'll take the next year or two off. But you know, maybe I'm wrong. We'll look up the numbers. We'll find out. Next is from Pat, DM Darks. And Pat says, my favorite part was contributing to our wins in the Puzzle Quest all 3 years that I went. God, I am missing Puzzle Quest. The puzzles were spectacular, and the puzzles were a great experience because it was such a team event, and it was just this whole, the whole weekend long experience of finding puzzles. And so, I mean, other stuff is going on, but there's always puzzles to find. And whenever we need to take a break, that's what we're doing. We're all sitting down, working on puzzles together, until the next. And so Puzzle Quest is off this year and apparently not coming back. So maybe they'll revive it. Maybe someone else will take up the mantle and we'll get to see a return of Puzzle Quest or some kindred spirit. But yeah, I will miss that a lot. Next is from Kyle. And Kyle says, forget your suggested topic. I just saw Big Trouble in Little China at my local theater, and it was awesome. I've never seen it on the big screen. It was just great. Which Big Trouble in Little China is your favorite? Do I have to pick just one? I mean, look, I think the skinny one. I like the skinny guy. I can't even remember the difference between the three of them, but there was the skinny guy, there was the slightly chubby guy, and then there was the main one, the most powerful one. And I liked the skinny dude. There was something about him that he was just awesome. But here's the thing. I just saw earlier tonight, I saw on Facebook that you posted up that you were going to see Big Trouble in Little China, to which Pat responded with, explain to me what the big deal is. I don't get it. Pat claims to have tried to, what claims, as if he's lying about it. Pat says he watched half of the movie, and he just doesn't get why we're so excited about it. And, wow, really? Really? He just, oh my God, I love Big Trouble in Little China. And yeah, I know it's a little dated, and it is problematic like any movie out of the 80s. But I think it holds up pretty well. And when you're looking at it and you're thinking it looks really cheesy and it feels a little off. Look, that's how it was when it was released. It's very much a Flash Gordon pulp serial sort of action style. And so you're not taking it as, it's not a literal action movie. It's this genre thing. It's this, and the magic of it is that Jack Burton, our hero, Jack Burton, in his wife beater shirt, and it's Kurt Russell, and he's huge, and he's tough, and he's got his knife, and his swaggering John Wayne bravado, and he's very much putting on this whole machismo sort of thing, and he's worthless. That's the whole point of it. He's all talk, and yet everywhere he goes, I mean, spoiler warning for this 40-year-old movie, but everything he does is all talk, and then when it comes to actual action, he stumbles, he falls down, he misses the mark, and it is always Wang that saves his ass. Always. And it's very much a Green Hornet, Kato sort of deal, where, yes, your hero is supposedly very capable, but, it tends to be the Asian sidekick who's carrying him a lot of the time. And, it's just an awesome movie. I love the movie. And I mean, look, and finally, the big climax of the movie, yes, Jack Burton pulls it out in the one moment that it really counts. And that's it. And that's why he's the hero. That is why Egg Shen goes on and on about how he's the hero of Chinatown and how he saved all of them. And that's because that one moment. All right. All the rest of it, he's a bumbler. He's a fool. He's a, he's all talk and no bite. And yet the one moment it counts, he saved all their asses. There you go. That's all it takes. All right. And I love this movie. I love it. I have seen it a million times. You know what? I'm going to have to go watch it again. Maybe I will do a Big Trouble in Little China and Monster Truck double feature because that's how much I want to see this. But yes, I love Big Trouble in Little China. All right. Let's see. To follow this up, Nellie says, I can add pics. Okay. And so she has a picture. Hold on, let me pull this up. These are what, action figures, statuettes of really awesome, I'm assuming, gay mermaids. But this one is a, the sign in the back says Beefcake, $29.75. And it is a, this merman. But he's got the little, Van Dyke beard, glasses, and he's holding a cake. And I assume this is a reference to the bakery, decision that went through the Supreme Court recently. But that's adorable. That's really cute. Did you paint this yourself? I'm wondering if this is a painted miniature, or if this is just something that was on sale somewhere, or if this is, wow, that is really good looking. All right. And then below that, oh man, costume contest? All right, hold on. All right, yeah, this makes great radio, by the way, for me to describe pictures to you. But, oh, wow. God, I miss all the costumes. I forgot how much I miss the costumes. Is that you, Nelly? God, this is so cool. All right, anyway. Yeah, again, it's me describing pictures. But, oh, look at that. All right. You know what? I gotta stop. All right. You know what? If you guys want, it's all here in the Nerd Pride Radio Facebook feed. Go to Nerd Pride Radio, look for the I'm Now Recording episode 238, and read through Nellie's commentary. She's got pictures in there. And you can see some Gen Con stuff. It's very cool. So Nellie wraps it up then and says, I'm also curious to see what you think of new and weird indie RPGs like StarCrossed. I got to play it at Gen Con. StarCrossed? I've never even heard of it. But fortunately, she provides a link. Oh, how cool is this? StarCrossed, it is a two-player role-playing game of forbidden love. What's this all about? Develop characters who are irresistibly drawn to each other, build a world that keeps them apart, pull from the tower to find out what happens. Ah, see, this is cool. This is, this reminds me of a game and I don't remember. Oh, wow, and it looks like it combines the two-player role-playing romance with a mechanic based on Jenga. So that's fascinating. It reminds me of, I just heard a bit about, it was on some gaming podcast, and they were talking about a role-playing game about, or it's more of a board game, but with role-playing aspects in it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. God, I wish I could remember the name. But it was a game about consent. It's two people who are interested in each other, and it is about a game about building consent to move forward with whatever it is that they're going to do. And what a fascinating idea for a game. It hearing them talk about it with the creator, this role-playing games. This is one that Nellie just linked me to. So, by the way, Noah's back, or he's been here the entire time, just super quiet.
And also asleep.
This is the game called StarCrossed, and you have to build two characters who are wildly different, but they are very much attracted to each other. But things keep them apart, and so you have this two-player role-playing game of trying to see if they can ever get together. And Nellie said she got to try it out. It's a Kickstarter game, so it hasn't even been published yet. But Nellie got to try it out this weekend at Gen Con and said it was very, very cool. So, anyway, that is the very end of everything I've got here. So, Noah, you've gotten here just in time to say goodnight to everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Hey, say goodnight, R2. You guys are awesome. I appreciate you coming in here. I appreciate you hanging out with me and contributing, and we've had a lot of fun. So I will see you next week.